Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Good Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, save for the obvious. I'm Jeff, that's Tom. Director Matthew in the house. Want to find me on Twitter? You can, at Jay Cameron Show. We have so much to address. So much to take in from what happened over the weekend. And then one of the reasons we love the soap opera that is college football is the aftermath of seasons, wins, losses, big moments, and decisions that have to be made by the game's most influential coaches and super agent Jimmy Sexton. And then, of course, now we enter into the picture with the early signing period and the urgency that athletic directors feel to get guys in place to try to salvage anything that they can regarding these classes. And we know what it's like to not be in that position, right? To be in a bad spot. When you're making a change, like Florida's going to have to make this change and just did, and now we see, you know, we're waiting on LSU, and you see Southern Cal, and you see Oklahoma now, and all these teams, it gets fascinating to watch it play out because you know that in all likelihood, those places are going to see something of a lost year in recruiting. And Florida State has a chance to take advantage of that. That's the good news as we start the show today. The bad news is, obviously, we just lost to the University of Florida, and that is infinitely frustrating. But I do think that as we evaluate the season, you never say 5-7 is okay, but you also don't refuse to acknowledge from whence it came and where we had to go from to where we ended and where we think this has a chance to end up going into next season. Norvell is a very busy man right now. There are kids he has to visit, important players, opportunities in the transfer portal. Obviously, you got to go visit recruits. I mean, it is a heady time. And really a fun time. Like, if you're a year-round connected to college football, love it, eat, breathe, sleep, college football, always kind of, even when you're in the throes of whatever other season you're talking about, whether it's college basketball, the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, whatever it might be, you're one of those people, in all likelihood, if you're listening to this, and certainly as it pertains to Florida State, I think this is true, you're one of those people that always, you got your eye on what's happening with college football, because there's always something happening with college football. And you're especially, I think, clued in now more than you were certainly at the end of last year's COVID season, more than you were at the tail end of the mess that was the university deciding to fire Willie Taggart and move on. All that stuff. Like, now it's okay. I think we got a glimmer of hope. That's what this season would be coined as or phrased as, a glimmer of hope. There are problems. There are things to overcome. There are a lot of areas of weakness. True. But we saw, I think, to some degree, what they were capable of in flipping the culture, getting the kind of commitment day in, day out to doing things the right way. You hear Norvell talk about that a lot, right? And the need to see that day in and day out, week in and week out, game in and game out, even when they're down in the dumps, when they're getting beaten. It happened in this game. By rights, and now we'll get into the assessment of this game, by rights, I think Florida State could have lost by 3 or 4 touchdowns in this game as the way that it played. Clearly Florida, and I hate to admit this, the effect of the little pregame skirmish, for lack of a better term, nobody threw hands, but you saw what I'm talking about, between the way that the chippiness was on display from snap one to how physical Florida was and their overall physicality, which is greater than that of Florida State because they have the means by which to do that. They have better players is what I'm getting at. That was obvious too. There's a physical difference between the two teams. You realize that, golly, That's where we still have to get to. It tells you that Florida was in the kind of disarray that they were in to have the record that they did with those players, because that's a good offensive line. Anthony Richardson should have been developed more through the course of the year by now. He's a physical freak. Now, he's got some ways to go as a passer, but he's hit and miss on that, but he is a freak. They have bigger, thicker running backs. They are better off the, I think, better off in terms of depth along the defensive front. To me, this is... That Florida team should be a lot better. That's why they fired their coach. That's why they're bringing in Billy Napier. They're an example of where we got to get to and where we once were physically. Got to bring in better players.
Yeah, imagine you had a guy like Gamble here with this offense, the way it wants to feature an H-back.
Correct.
Like, that's the hard part is, you know, all at once, you're correct. In the trenches, it was clear early. You're like, oh,
boy.
First of all, they care. Second of all, they're better.
Those two things happened. It scared me to death in the first 5 minutes of the game, Tom. I almost texted you, but then I thought that would get annoying because we're trying to lock in. I thought, damn it, they care. They're locked in. And, by the way, they're physically better in the trenches. Damn it.
Right. And the caring part was always the key. That was the key to the handicapping of the game. That was the key. And also the idea being, if you get out in front, will they still care? Are they all bark and no bite? We never put them in that position.
No, because we get hurt right off the bat, because we get blown past off the edges. And you and I talked before the game in our chat that I was really worried about their ends, that I didn't think we could block their ends.
Right. So what's frustrating, though, on top of all that, is if you played smarter, you might be in a position to win that football game, despite all those disadvantages that we have. And that was the part that left me with a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth. I'm looking at the bigger picture as the game is over because of 0-4 and what we've done since then and the stability that we're going to be able to show in state to recruits right now.
Yeah, right now.
Because the signing period is 2 weeks away. I mean, that's crazy. We are on the brink of finalizing a class. If it was going all the way to February, I'd be worried more. But I'm thankful that we can end a lot of these recruiting sagas
right now,
just over 2 weeks' time.
Yes, let's get to it.
But the thing that left a bittersweet taste in my mouth, the bitter part of it, was, you know, I thought we were going to be the more composed group. I thought you could bank on that, like literally bank on the fact that we'd be the more composed team. We weren't.
No,
that was shocking.
Still have a ways to go physically, emotionally. They passed a lot of tests this year emotionally, not this one. They failed this one. This was a failed endeavor. I'm not saying that they... Overall progress is something to be ignored, but in this game, they failed that test. They reacted to the chippiness. They fell into the trap that Florida set before the game and during the game, and that is really maddening because they had shown that they were capable of going beyond that time and again. But that's what an in-state rivalry can do. That's where knowing guys, where pride kicks in, where all that bowing up. I mean, this is a game of machismo. It is.
Right,
it's testosterone-laden. It's football, baby.
But it's for the staff. When we go down to Miami next year, tighten that up. You got to tighten that up.
Yeah,
you can't let that happen.
Yeah. Well, I agree. They failed that part. But, yeah, again, when you saw early on that we were not going to get a pass rush, now, Emory Jones stinks, and we've said that week in and week out. Thankfully, he does. Because if he didn't, this is a lopsided affair. He had time to throw. We could not get to him, even with that front
four
that's been
misses,
so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they had plays available. And they started the wrong guy at quarterback. And, you know, that helped. That helped. But when I saw that window where I realized we're not going to get home, that's a problem. And then when I saw we physically couldn't block them, you could have turned the TV off. I mean, you really could have. I mean, we do this all the time. Like, I'm glad I didn't. I wanted to see how we'd fight. I wanted to see what kind of – and listen, when in 5 minutes when you recognize that you can't block them and you're not going to get home and then your quarterback's hurt, you can call it a day. I mean, it was about to be – so like you said, the fact that it was still a game at halftime, a game even to some degree in the fourth quarter, although – at 24-7, for all intents and purposes, this was over.
Well, at 10 points with 5 minutes to go, I'd probably go for it on my own 18. I don't care where it is in the field on the 4th and 9. You need 2 scores.
Yeah.
I was disappointed by that decision, too. You know, if we're going to go for it in situations that aren't as desperate, and you got back to 4th and 9 there, you're telling me you think Jordan's hurt in the moment. That's probably the only reason you punt? 5 minutes to go.
I think that's probably what his answer would be there.
Yeah, well. It better be, because if it's any other answer, you're like, what are you doing? We got to find some consistency in when we choose and pick our spots.
Yeah, but I'm going to fix some other stuff before I worry about that, because I'll tell you what, that's a lot of that's desperation stuff. And I agree with you. I understand. You've got to – it gets complicated when we talk about Jordan Travis. It really does get very complicated. I would bring in another quarterback to fight for the job there, and maybe Jordan Travis just – continues to move ahead and play better and better and better, and he makes it a null and void discussion. It's his job, and he wins it, and you continue to build your offense around his skill set. Maybe that happens, but he is so injury prone. The first time he gets hit in this game, like, really? Okay, again, this is going to happen again? Are we always going to have to worry about this shoulder dangling down to your knee? I mean, for the rest of his life, if he falls down some steps or something, are we always going to have this issue? Because it's so it's not me ripping the kid. It sounds like it. I don't mean it to be. I'm talking about dependability. I'm talking about knowing that I can trust something. Now, freak accidents happen. Freak injuries happen. You can get your knee blown out and you could be the healthiest kid in the world. I'm not saying that. But that is a reoccurring injury, by the way. That's the same one that happens all the time with him, with the shoulder.
Yeah, no, the simple answer is yes, you're always going to have to worry. Before any game, it has to be a talking point, or at least in the back of your mind, until his career is over. Unless we go through a full season next year and he's the starter and nothing happens. But it would probably take about 12 consecutive games before it exits my mind. And to your point, and where I agree, here's where it's easy. Jordan is developing. He has gotten better.
Yes,
he continues to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You actually can throw the football with Jordan a little bit. All right, nice. Get some weapons, and let's see how much you can. That'll be nice. Get some offensive linemen in here, block it up, and we'll see what more he could turn into. That is one development that you could put in a bubble, set aside. The second development is we can't be ass when he's hurt. We can't be less than anything when he's hurt. You've got to have a second solution. It would be irresponsible to not bring in somebody other than AJ Duffy to give you a fighting chance if his shoulder is dangling after a drive. You have to.
Yeah, you do. And I don't know why. I get that you were probably screwed either way. But I have no idea why they rolled Mackenzie Milton out there. I just can't fathom why they did that. He 100% can't play. You would have been much better off putting Rodemaker out there. They did. He looked better than Mackenzie Milton.
Right, yeah. Penalty short-circuited that
one. I'm not real sure that he would have gone on to have a good game or not, but at least he's physically capable. We fall off a cliff. So you owe it to the other
players.
You
do.
Owe
yes.
it to everybody else on this team to bring somebody else in to compete, and at the very least, to be a viable backup if somebody goes down, if Jordan Travis gets hurt.
Right. You can't be worried about Jordan Travis' sensibilities, to the idea of a transfer, to the point that you don't give yourself a fighting chance if the kid's not available for at least a drive or two. And you have to plan for that. That's where I think there's no emotion tied to it. There's no referendum tied to it.
No, it's just there's no agenda to it.
The blood and guts of it is you need to be prepared to be without him for a given drive once a game. If you're not, then you're not doing your job properly. Now, he's made it through some games start to finish, and that's great. But when it's a coin flip that's going to happen, and that's pretty much where we are at this point in his career, it's a coin flip that he might not be 100% for a drive, and maybe he needs to be outright sitting for a drive or two. Yeah, man, you've got to plan against that. That's your job.
So I think it'll be interesting to see if they do that. It'll be interesting to see what they're able to tap into in the portal, because they're terrible at wide receiver. They may have 47 guys on the roster that play tight end. I've yet to see any of them that play consistently well. Now, maybe our boy Jackson West emerges into a player.
Maybe. He tried to take, or I don't know if he did, but he tried to take an unsportsmanlike penalty along with half the roster.
Yeah. So you got to find a tight end. Especially since your offense, if you ever do run your offense, is really heavily reliant on one of those guys. you got to find a couple transfer portal offensive linemen to come in and play right now. You got physically manhandled up front. You really did. It was blatantly obvious. So you got problems there still. And then we've talked at length about what you're losing on that defensive front. It's the juxtaposition of feeling buoyed by the season 5-7, as it were, and also the stark realization of all that you have to replace in order to either replicate or take the step forward, because replicating is not going to be acceptable. 5-7 will not be acceptable next year. So you're going to have to get to a place where you take a step forward. Even if it's 7-5, you're going to have to show me that progress. In order for that to happen, you've got a lot of things to work on here in this offseason, and it involves personnel first and foremost.
Yeah, and then the crazy. I mean, this is just a bizarre time because you've got some kids that were down to maybe us in Alabama and Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and that's completely on its head now with Lincoln Riley to USC. LSU, what answers do they have? We ran into a couple of kids there. Napier to Florida, does that mean some kids are going to outright decommit? What's Miami's plan? I mean, you have so many variables that are happening right now that can lead to two things. You know, our brains automatically go to recruiting, but the transfer portal is real. It's as real as it's ever been.
We just saw.
And you've got, but anytime there's a coaching change, it doesn't mean that a kid might enter his name in the transfer portal Oklahoma and follow Lincoln to USC. They might just go somewhere else outright. So you've got to have a staff, and I know we do, and you've got to have a method, an organization method of, hey, the moment that this kid goes in the portal, you call me, I'm on a plane, I'm in Las Vegas right now talking to this recruit, but we've got to be able to make sure that we contact him within the first 10 minutes. If I don't FaceTime him, he's not going to put us in his final three. I mean, your head has to be spinning in so many different directions.
Well, this is where organization really helps, and this is where they've been really good about this. They've contacted these kids immediately. Every one of the transfer portal kids that succeeded that came here this last year have told the same story, that they were contacted within seconds of their name going in that portal, and that Norvell was the first or second guy they heard from. So that has been the norm here. That's something that you can fall back on and feel good about.
Right, but now he's doing in-home visits and flying all over the country because he's allowed to. It's no longer a virtual dead period where you can sit at your computer and just rifle off 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right, right, right.
You have to be so prepared for anything. I mean, you know, LSU could make a hire at any point here soon. Miami could make a change at any point here soon. Oklahoma could, you know, hone in on 2 or 3 candidates, and maybe that affects some kids that are committed elsewhere because it's a coordinator or a head coach at a different Power 5 institution. I mean, you've got to be prepared for so many variables. It's an impossible thing to cover. It's a more impossible thing to coach through, but at least we have guys, like you're saying, at least we have an organization head to toe that's as ready for this as possible. But, I mean, this is unbelievable. The Lincoln Riley news creates so many new dominoes that we didn't see coming that between now and the early signing day, Jesus, anything can happen.
It's amazing to watch. College football is crazy. It's one of the reasons we love it, but it is worrisome. You just think like, okay, I got a handle on this. Oh, wait, they made that higher. Well, that's good. Nah, that'll fail. You don't really know. The Lincoln Riley thing is weird. I would really love to be a fly on the wall to see what happened there. I think this might be as simple as restarting the clock. Now, he had overwhelming success at Oklahoma. If you look at the record, there's by any definition, he was successful. Very successful. But, okay, I don't know. There are a million factors why you would choose, let's say, to leave Oklahoma and not go to the SEC and go instead to the Pac-12 where the path to the playoff is easier. You get to live in Los Angeles, first of all, and he'll live in a nice part of Los Angeles. He won't be struggling on the 405. He'll be okay, right? So you get gobs of money, you get to go to L.A., and you pick your quarterbacks. Right, of which all have been escaping California for years. Clemson, they go all over the place, right? So I could see it. I mean, that's an answer. I get it. Starting over, maybe you've grown a little frustrated. You take your defensive coordinator with you, and you ride on down the road. I don't know. It seems like it was obvious for him to say no to LSU and stay at Oklahoma, but I never saw USC coming out of left field there. That was very interesting.
Yeah, do you think he chuckled to himself when he was asked about LSU in the postgame?
After I'm sure Bedlam? He was relieved.
I'm not going to be the next coach at LSU.
You'll definitely see I'm not going there. So, you know, at that point, he's like, screw it. Now, I would think, while we're having fun looking around the landscape, LSU fans have got to be looking two fingers to my eyes, two fingers back to you, to Scott Woodward right now. Like, hey, man, everybody we would have wanted is off the table. Franklin re-signed at Penn State. Mel Tucker got $90 million to stay at Michigan State. Lincoln Riley, who we were rumored to be whispering to, and he just basically thumbed his nose at us and took the USC job. Now he's off the list. Billy Napier, who was in the state and can recruit within the state. Maybe you look down on him because he wasn't a Power 5 coach. I don't know what the answer is, why they didn't reach out to him. But he takes the Florida job. It's a good move for Florida, in my opinion. Like, who are you bringing in? I suppose the answer now would be Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, Lane's phone is going to be ringing for, I would think, the job in Coral Gables. But they've got to find an athletic director first, and then the LSU gig. Aranda is going to stick around in Baylor. Like, and that's interesting because the USC opening was there, and so is the LSU, and you could tie him to both of those universities. And you would think those jobs are better, obviously, given what Baylor's about to be in, which is the Big 12 without Oklahoma and Texas. And he said no. Yeah, And you just beat Jimbo. So if you had any pipe dream about that, do you really? Those aren't great optics.
I want to read you a quote. I pulled this up today and put it in my notes because I wanted to go back and see very specifically what he said when he was asked about LSU countless times here at Florida State.
Oh, Jimbo?
Yeah. Okay, here you go. So here's what he said at Florida State. There is no doubt I do have one of the best jobs in America. This is a tremendous place. The Florida State people have been wonderful to me and my family. It's a great place to live, a great place to coach. We've got great players, great tradition, and incredible history. This is a tremendous job and a heck of a place. I love it here. Quote, unquote, right? Now, about the LSU job, him at Texas A&M. It's one of the best places in America. Oh, sorry. I coached there at LSU. It was a great place. We won a national championship. It was one of the best places in America. It's a wonderful place. I love being at Texas A&M, though, and I plan on being at A&M and fulfill my contract. I love everything about this place. Let me tell you something. The way this place has embraced me and my family, including our foundation, the things that are going on with our foundation, the way people have embraced it, the way people have done everything here in College Station. I love everything about the people here, the administration here, and everybody who's been involved with me here. Very, very similar quotes.
Yeah, the price just keeps going up. That's the thing. You're going to have to make Jimbo say no to $12 million a year, $13 million a year, $14. You know what I mean?
Like,
until he says, stop it. Stop it. That's what it would take. That's what it would take. If I'm LSU at this point, the question will be, who overpaid more, buddy? Was it the Mets for Max Scherzer, or was it LSU for Jimbo Fisher? That can be the debate maybe in a couple of days.
By the way, lost in all this was A&M lost again.
That's what I'm saying. That's bad optics. Ed O just beat you again.
I'm fascinated. The musical chairs in the world of college football. We will look directly. Now, obviously, we know what Florida State has to get done. It has to improve the roster immensely, both through recruiting and obviously the transfer portal. So that's next up for Florida State. I don't know that you're going to see some changes. You might see a coach or two move on. I don't know. Nothing earth-shattering. I don't think it'll be one of the coordinators or anything like that, meaning offensive or defensive. But as far as like what happens around us in the changing landscape and how that affects everything, Billy Napier to Florida is something we're going to have to address here, and we will in a second. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Jeff Cameron Show on a Monday. Great to be with you. Hope you are well. 93.3 Real Talk Radio is the station you are locked into, as well as War Chant TV. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you're watching on War Chant TV. Some roofing companies say they're the best in town with the best price around. Safety is their top priority, but they don't always have your best interest at heart. At T-Spark Enterprises Roofing and Construction, they believe in doing things the right way, the safe way. Employees undergo regular safety training and are constantly being educated on a new technique and new materials, like becoming master metal applicators. Yay. I love that line. Have you considered a new metal roof before? Long-lasting and durable. You're in luck because T-Spark Enterprises Roofing and Construction are the best in town, period. Call them today, 766-1340. Or get a free quote today at tsparkconstruction.com. Yeah, forgive me for not lingering in the aftermath of a disappointing loss to conclude the season, because in my eyes, the transformation, the fight, the culture shift, the change in the locker room had already been accomplished. It's not that I'm not angry about the loss or frustrated by it, but it played out in such an obvious way. And what I mean is not pregame. We didn't say that we thought we would lose that game. We said, I'm not sure Florida wants to play the game. Well, Florida made it abundantly clear they wanted to play the game. And at that point, The other thing that became clear, unfortunately, was just how far behind the eight ball we are physically. And it reminded me of when we were going through the last transformation. Now, we were further along than we are currently, but set of circumstances were very different. But I remember the Oklahoma game and Norman being down on the field and seeing Oklahoma's players going, oh, no, on the hoof, this ain't good. And we were told, you know, Ira joined us and Corey brought it up too, that pregame for the Florida State people that were there in attendance covering the game, that when they were down on the field, they went, this ain't good. This ain't good. That is always a weird feeling. I've seen it happen before. We've all been there. I remember, obviously, in the glory days, it would often happen to our opponents, where if you were down on the field before the game, you'd look at Florida State's players, and then you'd look at anybody else, and you'd go, ooh, unless we turn the ball over, you guys are going to have some problems today, because it was a physical mismatch. And Florida State still is in a position right now where, against certain teams, they are in a physical mismatch. Now, I need to see that change quickly. That is an area that has concerned me for a while. We were steady going the wrong way. That's what happens when your classes get blown up and you have to settle. So the clay that you're molding is not, it doesn't come as malleable as you'd like it to be, perhaps. That has to change rapidly, because you really can't compete in certain contests if that's the case, right? And I think you see, and yet they did. Yet they did find a way. But a lot of tricks, a lot of angles, a lot of we're going to make do, we're going to have to play this way because we can't play any other way. So when you see people constantly saying things like, well, you got to make more adjustments, well, they can't really adjust too much. They can only play a certain way right now for a lot of reasons. And I keep bringing this up and it bothers people. They can only play a certain way, partially because of the quarterback. They can only play a certain way, partially because the offensive line can't block up a drop back pass game. They can only play a certain way because they don't have receivers that get separation. They can only play a certain way because they don't have a tight end that can play. They can only play. So that's problematic. We've got to get beyond that next. How quickly they can get there, I'm not certain. That's why I would not predict next year is going to be some eureka moment. I think they'll be better, but I don't think they'll be appreciably better. I think they're a 7-5 type team going into next year.
Yeah, you got to take a look, too, on it. There's the accounts payable and the accounts receivable department in any organization, right? And we got to take a look and see what players are saying that they're leaving the program now that we're done with football. Because this is when you can start to add slots to your 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important rule, and this is an important time to have a refresher on that. This year, the NCAA has allowed for 7 more spots, incoming players,
yes,
because there are so many players in the transfer portal, and they're trying to account for that and say, all right, how do we course correct here? Because we just have this new rule where it's one time, you could go wherever the hell you want, no restrictions, don't need to sit down. So how do we counterbalance that? All right, we'll add 7 more spots to the class. But you could only start counting up to those 7 if you have players that transfer after the season is over. So now is when you need to look at FSU's roster and say, is anybody announcing? Anybody taking their notes app on their iPhone and tweeting, respect my decision, Noel forever or whatever, and they're moving on? Because I want to take more than 7 guys out of the transfer portal. That's the quickest way to make an impact next year, is for those guys. Travis Hunter is going to help this football team next year, but not all 20-plus recruits are.
No, right,
You'll be lucky if 5 of them do.
Yeah.
We'll be lucky if 5 of them are reasonably ready to play right away at big-time levels against the Clemsons and the Floridas of the world and the LSUs next year. You'd be lucky if it's more than 5. So you want as many transfer slots as you can have to get to that 32 number with maybe 10 transfers, 11 transfers. That's what it's going to take to account for the guys we're losing this year, because guess what? Our 2 best players are gone off the defensive line, and you've got to be able to replace them not with the guys we have on the roster, but probably with an immediate impact player or two.
Yeah, Malcolm Ray made strides this year. He's played better. He's going to help you. But you're right. Outside of the roster is where you're going to look to find an answer there. I love that right off the bat, Michael Langston, WarChant.com, reporting that we're out there on 2 offensive linemen transfer portal types. A Wisconsin offensive lineman at that. I'm always going to say good things. Hey, listen, you saw just how desperate we were. We took a kid that wasn't going to play a down this year for Notre Dame, and he instantly became one of our most important offensive linemen. So that tells you where we're at. And my guess is that if you could get a Wisconsin kid in here, he'd probably be one of your best offensive linemen right off the bat. So go grab you 2 or 3 of those to go along with the group that you're signing, to go along with the progress that you're going to get out of the kids that are already on the roster, which could be very well significant. I mean, it has to be. They got to get better. Williams has got to get stronger, a lot stronger. At the end of the year, he got manhandled several times. I hope that we didn't see regression from Scott because of injury, but he wasn't good.
You're talking about Darius Washington? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I said Washington's got to get bigger and stronger,
Yeah.
I think, well, listen, what did I say, Williams?
That's good.
Sorry, I'm just talking fast. But I think Scott regressed as the year went on. That could just be that he was too injured to be able to work out consistently.
We
got to
get better on that speed rush.
They just run right past him every
That's
time.
Correct.
I mean, yeah. But again, when you thrust kids into positions of having to start before they're ready, before they're big enough, strong enough, experienced enough, especially in the trenches, then you pay a dear price against the better teams, period. That's just the way it looked to me every time we faced a team that had grown-ass men in the trenches. And we're not there yet. Now, you'll make strides just because they're going to get older, bigger, stronger. They got a ton of experience this year.
Yeah, Schrader, Herring, too. They like both of those kids. We'll see what they can do in the spring.
Yeah, we will. We will. Transfer portal, baby. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to need a kid who's a bona fide, grown-ass man who has started games in big-time college football to come in here and anchor a couple of spots on this line. That's how you avoid a huge setback, is you get a guy that is ready to go now, walks on campus. The way that you brought in Jermaine Johnson, who walked through the door and became your best player the second he did. That dude changed your season outlook. This would have been a disastrous season if that dude hadn't come over. Same with Kier Thomas. You can go on down the line. They have got to find four or five difference makers in the trenches today, preferably in an hour. I'd like to hear about these kids coming in an hour. Let's go. Because that is how you can avoid the, for lack of a better term, sort of standing in place, running in place type season on the horizon.
The threat for attrition and damage from attrition is great right now. I mean, it's pretty much critical for your defensive line.
Now,
you could be better at the second level and the third level if you get a couple of commits
here. Linebackers. Yeah.
Right. And we like what the secondary did for the back half of the season. You can outright replace a few of those guys with the recruits you have coming in. It's easier to play as a freshman in the secondary than it is certainly at the defensive line or at linebacker. But, you know, being better in the secondary next year is only going to account for so much. You could be losing four of your defensive linemen. You could.
Well, you really
Love
could.
It and Cooper could both go. They could.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised. So before we went to break, and we got to take another one here in a second, I mentioned that I didn't think you'd see much change in the way of the staff. Like they want to try to keep continuity.
Yeah, I would think so.
And they, for the most part, certainly proved enough in the second half of the season that maybe they wouldn't need to make change. Maybe linebacker coach.
Maybe they're in. We'll see what the next couple of weeks do in terms of signings.
Because
I mean, didn't Deloach get better this year?
Deloach got better. I'm talking about in recruiting. They better get some answers here. That group that's verbal, they've got one, right?
A couple of others right there.
Going to need those guys as well. Yeah.
A little convincing needs to be done.
That has to happen because otherwise I'm like, hey, man, what are we doing? We're kind of average out here coaching, and you're not exactly bringing them in. I'm going to need you to get it going. That conversation will have had to have happened.
Transfer wouldn't hurt in that particular position.
Whoa, buddy, like three of them. I mean, it's raining transfers around here. Let's go. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. So, Florida makes a move to very quickly hire Billy Napier. It didn't take long, a little over a week, to go from telling Dan to have a good day, you goofy bastard, to bringing in Billy Napier, who is, of course, of the Saban tree. Now, it is also, and should be duly noted, true that several Saban tree guys haven't made it. One of them coached at Florida. McElwain was a Saban guy, and that didn't work out. Didn't work out well at all. So that happens. I believe if you go down the list of people on that tree, there are several washouts or guys that didn't work out. Dooley's one of them. There are several that we could go on and on. Whole part whole. We can go a lot of guys. So
you enunciated those words.
I did.
That's not allowed.
I did. Anyhow, there are no guarantees. I think it's probably true if we go down the list of candidates over the years and we say, like, did you like that guy? Did you think this guy was destined to fail or succeed? I've watched nationally as writers weigh in on this subject, and they're pretty much asked to do so. I remember it was absolutely dismissed as a viable option for Florida State to hire Jimbo Fisher, and let alone to call it a great move. And I can still, I remember holding that over some people's head a little bit there in the industry, who called it an F in some cases. Now, of course, he quickly...
It was that Hayes?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Well, and also the other Gator who said something is similar. Mandel, I think it was, also ripped the hire. And I remember thinking, oh, really? Okay, we'll see. As it turned out, obviously, Jimbo won a national championship and quickly turned Florida State around and got us back to where we wanted to be. There are other guys that we thought would be slam dunks that did not work out. I don't know how it's going to work at Texas, but that's a rough first year for Sark. That's a rough one. Now, they did get a win at the end of the year there. That's helpful, but we'll see. As far as what Napier brings to the table, he did a good job, certainly, in recruiting. And I think that Florida felt a little spurned by their previous coaches' efforts in the world of recruiting. So they were inclined to look at a guy that had an approach that was successful at a place like Louisiana and said, okay, plus, you know, he's a guy that has a game plan. He's a guy that has stated openly in interview after interview that not every job was for him. He reportedly turned down other jobs, including in the SEC, that he wanted a certain structure in place from the president on down to the athletic director tied directly to the coach. They all had to be on the same page. They all had to see and have the same vision, right? They had to have the same way of viewing how it is you build an operation. So apparently Florida, which is a great job, met those criteria. And so you get this guy. The downside is, he's not been a head coach in the Power Five, and we'll see how he handles it, because being a head coach in the Power Five creates an awful lot of other responsibilities beyond recruiting, beyond the X's and O's. There are a whole lot of other things you have to do that really probably would sap you of your life. That's why you're paid handsomely to do so, though. It's to go on that circuit, to kiss ass, to shake hands and kiss babies and all that other stuff.
The word you said there, sap you, is a great segue, because Quayshon Sapp is a commit to Florida State, an offensive line commit, who was rumored to be visiting Florida and perhaps, you know, muddying the waters of where he's actually going to go. And that was a development yesterday, and everybody's flipping out over it. And then he tweets out that he's shutting it down. He's a null. So whoever talked to him from our university said, no. No, you're not. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to sign here in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Why do I bring that up as you're talking about Billy Napier? The reason is I'm on edge. There's a lot of things going on in our region, in the sport in general, that some good things are going to happen to us and some bad things are going to happen to us because of these domino effects. You're going to get on a kid maybe for an official visit here in a week or two that you never would have seen come to Tallahassee without the coaching changes. But then you're going to be reading
a kid.
Insider reports because Billy Napier or somebody else in the region hires a coordinator who has great ties to a prospect that we thought was locked down. I'm not trying to create fear. I'm just saying
that's the way it works.
That's the way this all works with coaching changes. So buckle your seatbelt, man. I'm just looking through all the news that's going on, and I'm trying to find stuff about recruits. Well, there's one Oklahoma receiver who put his name in the transfer portal. He's a five-star player or five-star recruit previously.
Uh-huh.
People are thinking he might be following Lincoln. Maybe that's the trend that I've been talking about. Is a coach going to move from one institution to another and bring a lot of their players with them? Like in one fell swoop, you have a new coach and you have four or five skill position players or something along those lines.
So it creates huge opportunity, but it also, as you correctly note, creates a danger that you lose a guy because of weird ties. You know, you find out that somehow, some way, Napier has ties to Lafayette, Alabama. And there's a guy, Woody's from there. And so it's like, oh, well, we could lose him.
Now, things are really good on that front right now. I'm not talking about specifically player.
No.
You know how the boards go. But,
But
that's what I'm fully expecting. It's just it's so bumpy because you have so many layers to this now. Mm. Coaching changes in the state, coaching changes in the region. NIL is a thing now. The transfer portal is a thing now. Roster overhaul I mean, the NCAA football game of yesteryear had no idea.
No idea.
You had
and
to go
wouldn't
through
it be fun to play that game again with this opportunity?
With the transfer portal?
Like, my quarterback's transferring.
Well, they did
you
have a
bum.
They had a transfer section in the offseason, but it would have to be, like, the algorithms, but the sheer numbers. Like, how do you build depth? That was one thing among the several terrible takes they had in the broadcast on Saturday that I agreed with.
Oh, please don't talk about that.
We're not going down that road.
That was
But they were
appalling.
Talking about how do you build depth in this era? It's really difficult to do so. Everybody's always looking for more playing time.
I will find it fascinating to see what is going to happen at the University of Miami. They won going away against Duke. Dude ends up winning 6 of 7 or whatever it is, and yet you get the sense that he won't be back. So who now do they hire? And also, you know, I tend to be encouraged by a place like LSU having to make the change and still not having done so. Can you go pluck some of those linebackers? Can you go and is there somebody from Oklahoma that you could grab who's now disgruntled, like in particular at linebacker? Because by the way,
Marvin Jones Jr.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley just took his defensive coordinator with him to Southern Cal. There's no reason for you to go to Southern Cal, young man. Let's go. What are we doing? So, yeah, hold your breath. This will be a fun 2 weeks. Longer than that, but yeah.
Well, we're all Lou Holtz. Damn, bringing the head cold.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, or Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Short segment here, but to note, that is a win for the Pac-12 for the first time in a long time in anything that matters, getting a coach to go to USC with the high-profile nature of Lincoln Riley, and what he'll do for them in regards to bringing in quarterbacks is unquestioned. He will immediately do that and likely keep some of the in-state talent there that's been cruising out of that state for a long time. In-state, that's helpful. I wonder what else we see. You know, we talk a lot of times about the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC, what we're looking at in terms of these changes, the Big 10, with them doubling down and keeping coaches at Michigan State and Penn State. But Cristobal's name continues to come up, and that would be who I think Miami is making the greatest run at. Although, if I'm Cristobal, why would I leave Oregon to go to Miami? That is not a situation that I would strongly desire, although, then again, he has ties and loves the place, so maybe he would. Maybe he would do that. Then again, he was a name that originally was going to be sort of dangled out there for the Southern Cal job. A lot of people thought that was not a good fit. What might be a good fit for a guy who can recruit is, I don't know, LSU. I would leave Oregon for LSU, and his is a name that could pop up here anytime now.
Well, there's domino effects to that for Florida State, too, because a couple of guys, namely a five-star wide receiver, likes Oregon and likes us. We like our chances. We would like our chances even more if Cristobal went to LSU, unless he brings in a position coach that a five-star likes more. Here we are, man. Yeah. This is finally, though, this is where it gets fun, because for Florida State, the early signing period was never a thing.
We never got an opportunity to take advantage of it, never got a chance.
There was 1 year with Willie, we're kind of, sort of, but not really, because we lost so much that we knew there was no impact. There's momentum here.
Yeah.
The number one overall player in the country is, I mean, he said it 10 different ways. He told Michael on Friday night, Michael Langston, that he might play receiver here. He expects to play receiver plus defensive back. So you got real reasons to hang your hat and be hopeful for this program, but now we're experiencing the bumps in the road that come with the early signing period and a staff that's continuous, staff that's on the road.
Thankfully, in a position to take advantage. It's like being
to
liquid.
To get more yeses.
It's like being liquid, Tom. There's this investment opportunity, but you got to have cash on hand. Well, that's us right now. We've got some cash on hand.
877 cash now.
Let's hope that, in fact, we have what we need. You see all this disarray, this convoluted mess around you? sea of tranquility here at Florida State.
Right.
Everything is beautiful. Hunky-dory. We know where we're at. I mean, where we're headed.
Quite literally, when we fired Willie, we had a structured settlement, but we needed cash now. I mean, that's where we were.
Hour number two forthcoming. Ira Shafel will join us in that hour of WarChant.com. Good times. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio.